Brother Peter is. He's very much like us, and he has his ups and his downs and his failures and his faithfulness and different things, and we just want to take a look at our brother's life. We're not looking to kick him or beat him down in any way, but know that from his life and our Lord's working in his life, there is help for us. Our Lord brought Peter a long way. And remember, it's Peter that's told, and we'll take a look at this account here in time, but it's Peter that's told by the Lord while he's living that he's going to give his life for the sake of the Lord. And you think about that. How would that be to carry that? You and I, from the standpoint of our lives, we have an if, maybe, you know. Will we give our lives for the sake of the Lord? Maybe so, maybe not. But Peter had a guarantee. He wouldn't see the Lord coming in the clouds. He wouldn't be raptured out. He wouldn't be translated. But he was told that he would die for the Lord. And being converted, as the Lord told him that he would be, being converted, he rested and trusted and looked to his Lord in everything. Our theme verse is again Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And there in John 21, in that passage that I referred to, in verses 21 and 22, Peter seeing him, that is, he sees John, he says to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry, or that John tarry, do I come? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so that's what we're looking at, is this of follow thou me and the life of the apostle Peter. Well, we've seen Peter, and as from the time he met the Lord and called to the Lord and such as that, he's seen the power of the Lord. He's had the power of the Lord bestowed upon him as an apostle to be a witness of the Lord's ministry and to be a proclaimer of such and to a lost and dying world. His ministry is now following along with the calling of the Lord. He's got the Lord there with him, and the Lord's teaching him and instructing him. The Lord's being long-suffering with him, and that's a blessing to see. You know, we don't need to give our Lord a reason for being long-suffering, but, you know, praise God that he is long-suffering with us. Amen. And so what a blessing that is. We look here in Matthew chapter 18. Let's take a look at this. And once again, as Brother Matthew writes, all of the scriptures, we know they're inspired of the Lord. It's exactly what the Lord wants us to have. And he worked in these men. As Brother Matthew, one of the apostles, as he wrote his gospel and he was there, he heard and he saw these things. I mean, he was part of the troop. Also his name, or we know him as Levi. He's there with the apostles, and he saw the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and he was there and he saw and heard Peter, and or word would get around what was done, maybe when they weren't exactly right there near each other where they would hear. And he writes this, and we know he writes it because the Lord wants us to have it. But it says here in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21, then came Peter. And so Matthew remembered that when it got down to the time, whether Matthew is writing along the way as things are actually happening, or he has a time later on, maybe after the resurrection of the Lord, that he sits down to write this gospel. We don't know when it is, but when he does, he remembers and he writes, and he's burdened by the Lord to write, then came Peter to him, that is to Jesus, and said. And so Peter's got another question. Peter's got something he wants to know. And we've already seen that about Peter. He's not afraid to ask. You know, Peter doesn't seem to be one that's embarrassed. Said, what'd he say? I don't know what he said. Well, ask him. No, I'm not going to ask him. I don't want to stand out from everybody else. Peter's not like that. You know what? We don't need to be like that. We need to ask. If we really want to know, we need to ask from the Lord. We don't need to be bashful about going to our Lord. As James tells us, he is one that is very willing to give us help and wisdom, isn't he? And he gives it liberally. And he doesn't say, hey, beat it, kid, get out of here. And the Lord doesn't say that, but he's willing to give us wisdom and understanding of the things that we want to know. Do you and I really want to know? It requires that question. Do we really want to know? Let us go to the Lord that we might know. Brother Peter did so. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter's been thinking about this. I don't know if he's been thinking about it or not, but people are people. Just like we were kind of talking at lunch. People are people. He's saying, I got this question. I want to find out. Maybe some of the apostles have already sinned against him, he thinks. And so he's going to say, well, forgive him once. That's not enough. I've heard what the Lord's preached and what the Lord has come to do. I've heard more about the Old Testament scriptures than I maybe have before in my life since I've been trooping here with the Lord. You know, the Lord used the Old Testament scriptures to preach, didn't he? And he's saying, well, maybe three times. Maybe three times would be enough. Maybe five times. I'll go to him and I'll say to him five times. Well, seven. Seven's a good number. After all, that's a number of perfection, isn't it, in the scriptures? How often my brother comes and he sins against me, Lord, how often shall I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter doesn't even limit it to a time, does he? He doesn't say a month, a week, a day, or an hour, does he? But he says, how often? Seven times? That's a good, righteous limit, isn't it? And then after that, I can break forth on him seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, Peter, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 70 times seven. You know, if that's in a day, 490 times. 490 times is a lot. I mean, have you ever known anybody even that was abusive to you? You know, I mean, it'd take a long time for them to get 490 racked up, wouldn't it? Even in a lifetime. I'm not saying it's impossible. But the Lord said 490 times. You know, if that would be in a day, 24 hours, that'd be in just under every 3 minutes over 24 hours, 490 times. Or if it was in a 16-hour day where you just take off eight for sleeping, maybe that one that would offend would take off for sleeping 8 hours, then it would be 490 times in a day would be in every 2 minutes, just under 2 minutes. The Lord said 490 times. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times 70. Seven times 70. In this chapter, we see here this in verse 23. And so the Lord is going to help Peter to understand. Therefore, Peter, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, we understand the weight of a talent, about what a man could carry all day long, is a way that I've heard it reckoned, 60, 70. 100, 120 pounds. A talent of anything is a bunch. Or 10,000 talents of anything would be a bunch of anything. And this man owed the Lord, this king, 10,000 talents. It's unpayable. It's unpayable. So the Lord said there's a king, and he's got these servants. And he's got a servant that owes him a debt he cannot pay. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the king said, sell him. Sell him and his whole family, that I might recover something. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, he may want to, but he likely couldn't get it done. But he said, have patience with me. Be merciful to me. I deserve me and my family to be sold. But have patience with me, and I'll work to pay it back. Don't sell me. Keep me. Keep me. Don't sell me off to this indenturedness. Be merciful with me. Then the Lord, verse 27, of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So in that plea of this servant, please don't sell me and have patience with me. Wait, and I'll look to repay it. The Lord was compassionate and said, I forgive you. That unpayable debt, it's forgiven. But the same servant, verse 28, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very small debt, a very payable debt, very little, this same man. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Well, that's pretty violent, isn't it? To take him by the throat, grab him by the throat and begin to choke him a little bit, put a little force on him so he might know that he's really, really serious. He says, pay me that thou owest. And he got a hold of him. Just didn't grab him by the arm or by the shoulder. He grabbed him by the throat. You ever had anybody grab you by the throat? Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And you know what? This man probably could have, the debt being as small as it was. Have patience with me. He falls down at the man's feet, the first servant's feet, and that falling down of feet is a thing of submission and worship, just like he did with the king. He said, have patience, wait. Don't hurt me, don't threaten me. Don't do anything to me, and I'll pay you all. Just have patience with me. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Debtor's prison. He said, no. And he sought prosecution of the fellow, and he was cast into prison. And how can he pay the debt in prison? He can't pay the debt in prison, can he? So when his fellow servants, these are other servants with the first, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And why were they sorry? Well, they saw very much that their Lord had been patient with him, had been merciful to him, and had forgiven him. But they saw that he wasn't that way. He wasn't like his king and like his Lord. They were very sorry and came unto their Lord, the king, and told all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. So he calls him back and said, you are wicked. I forgave thee all that debt that you could not pay, because thou desirest me. Remember what he said? He said, have patience with me. Lord, have patience with me. Verse 26, and I will pay thee all. Thou desirest me. You pleaded that I would be merciful to you. You didn't ask me to forgive it. You just asked me not to sell you and your family and give you time. You sought mercy. He said, I forgave you the debt. I didn't do what you said. I did above and beyond what you asked for. You're a wicked servant. Should not thou also have had compassion as I did, verse 33, on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Your debt was unpayable, and the debt that he owed you was payable. And his Lord was wroth. Means his anger waxed to action. And he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You reckon he ever got it paid? Not likely being delivered to the tormentors. In a lifetime, he likely never got it paid. Then Jesus, he's spoken this parable, or this aspect of the kingdom and the way that it is. And he's there, Peter, standing there, listening to what the Lord said. And listen to these words. These words are true. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Now you think the Lord means that? He means that. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We just went beyond 490, really. Peter asked, and he wanted to know. You know, maybe really in the end he didn't want to know. I don't know. But you know what? He and we've been told about forgiveness. Our Lord has forgiven us a debt that we could nowhere even think to pay a piece of. Our Lord has forgiven us in Christ a greater thing really than we can ever understand in our sins and transgression against our Lord. I mean, we really can't grab a hold of it, how God is so offended by our sins against Him. You know, and we don't need to dwell on the wickedness of our life and sins that we know about, but, you know, everything that we did, maybe the vile things that we may have been involved with or things that diabolically disobedient to God. You know, he's offended. He's sinned again. We sinned against him in every way. From the thoughts of our hearts and minds to the actions in our body. He's forgiven us. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to try to pay for it. Because Christ paid for it for us. We've been forgiven the 10,000 talents plus. And I think our Lord is indicating to us, would we take it upon us to not forgive? Now, I must say, understand that forgiveness and honor indeed are two separate things. Trust, honor, respect, it does have to be built. We don't need to be stingy in giving that, but it must be. But we must, as the Lord says, and he makes it very clear here, from our hearts. It's got to be more than our mouth. It's really an attitude from within. As much as we can, we need to put ourselves kind of in the Lord's shoes and think about how he's forgiven us. When he says he's forgiven us, he's really forgiven us. He doesn't think about it anymore. It's hard for us not to think about it, isn't it? He doesn't hold it against us anymore, and that we will not be judged for our sins as rebels and sinners against God that Christ has paid for. Now, there are sins as children that Hebrews chapter 10 is pretty plain, and what it tells us in Romans about standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and in Corinthians there's some things too. You know, sins that we commit as the children of God, they don't damn us to hell, but we do give an account. John tells us that when we sin against the Lord, as children we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and by him and confession and repentance of our sins before the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means when you and I as children don't repent of our sins, we're not cleansed. You know, we can go around dirty. Oh, our souls aren't in jeopardy, but we've got problems and issue with our Lord. But he's forgiven us. He's forgiven us of our sins from the standpoint of eternity and the condemnation that those sins require and an eternal hell and lake of fire, He's forgiven us. And would we undertake to not forgive? We're to be the children of our Lord. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. You think Jesus really means that? Is the Lord telling us here that the Lord's children, those who are saved, will be forgiving as the Lord is forgiving? If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We go over here to the model prayer and one accounting of it here in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And I find this interesting in thinking about this thought, how it is here. And this is Jesus early on before he's even asked. And Peter asked the Peter didn't remember, didn't hear the subtlety, or he's looking so he can take count. We can be that way, can't we? We want to take account. And it's a movie, but it's kind of humorous where the fella's there and he has his secretary that goes about with him, a steward that goes about with him, and he's always writing down the account or the offense of those that he runs into. Write that name down and write down what they did to me today. That's the way we are naturally. Hear the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. We read here, after this manner, verse number 9, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honor the Lord. We acknowledge who we're praying to. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We want your will done here also, Lord. Help us to be found in the center of your will and not rebelling against you. Give us this day our daily bread. Our provision comes from you, Lord, and we need it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The Lord didn't put any qualifier on it, did he? He said, Lord, forgive us the way we forgive. It's the same thing, isn't it? The same thought. Lord, I go to the Lord in prayer, Lord, forgive me the way I forgive. If I'm not a good forgiver, I've got trouble, don't I? I've got trouble. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's all yours. And we say amen to that. Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Say somebody's really been mean, has really been mean to you, and I know what the scripture says about turning the other cheek, and indeed we should. But somebody's just got a real bad way of socking you in the nose for no reason. Well, you know what? You and I are to forgive them. But that thing about honor and respect and that, but you know what? I very well may stay about an arm and a half lengths away from them too. You see what I'm saying? Forgiveness and honor and trust are two different things. We do need to forgive. We don't need to hold a grudge. Or we don't need to seek vengeance of our own. And I think that's really where someone may transgress against us and we become angry. Well, we can be angry and sin, or we can be angry and not sin. But we sure don't need that anger turning into wrath, where we begin to take them by the throat. And whether it be physical or figuratively. Also in regarding prayer, we look here in Mark chapter 11. Take a look here in Mark chapter 11. And the Lord said what he did there about this subject just outright. You know, it's there and it's very plain. Peter was compelled to ask later on and wanted to put a qualifier on it. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord says here, when they seen about the fig tree that the Lord had cursed going into Jerusalem when it didn't have any figs on it, and it wasn't the time of the figs, He tells them as they notice it in the morning, it says in verse number 20 of Mark chapter 11, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God Almighty. Have faith in the Lord. He talks here about the moving of mountains, and I really believe it. One brother recently said he didn't think that it was talking about literal mountains, but mountains in our life. But I think it's mountains in our life and possible things in our lives. And if for the glory of God we needed a mountain to be removed literally, that this would be so. Myself. Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Have confidence in the Lord. And when you stand praying, forgive." Just like he had told over there in the model prayer. "If ye have aught against any." Do you have aught against any? Do you have aught? Do you and I have aught against any? It doesn't say some. It doesn't say many. It says any. Any one. "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." It's all the way back to what we read there in the model prayer. Lord, forgive me the way I forgive. You know, as a child of God and son of God, I want to be forgiven of my faults and trespasses and sins against my Lord. And I need to be forgiving too. In Luke chapter 17, we read over here in regards to this subject. And in all of this, Peter would have heard this instruction. Luke writes here, and kind of Luke comes on the scene to write his gospel later, and he's no doubt talked with many of the brethren, trooped around with the Apostle Paul, had occasion to meet saints that lived during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his time seems to be later on from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord saves him, and then he begins to follow around with the Apostle Paul. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, "Then said Jesus," or he unto his disciples, "It is impossible that offenses will come." There's going to be people going to step on other people's toes. It's going to happen. There's going to be personality conflicts. There's going to be errors. There's going to be willful things. Things are going to happen because people are people, and sometimes we just bug each other. It's just that way. "It's impossible that offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones." And of course, the Lord speaks about how he looks at the children of God being abused and transgressed against. And I think also in that, and there's other passages that go along with this portion, I speak about what the Lord thinks about the abuser of children. That's the Lord's answer, is a millstone and deep water. Verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." So the one that's trespassed against has got a responsibility. Can you forgive him outright? Well, I think for the glory of God, that's the best. Do so. But if you can't let it go, you can't let it pass, then go tell them. Go tell them. And in other passages, the Lord says as much, and especially in the operation of the church. "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." And so this, some would jump to this and would say, well, they've got to say they're sorry before I forgive them. But we've already read enough to know that's not so. "And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Whew. That's better than 490. You know, seven times is a lot. Every 2 hours and some change of a waking day. I mean, if I came around about the fifth time, 10th hour, kicking you in the knee, you'd probably get pretty weary with it, wouldn't you? I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Make sure it's from the heart. You know, we're really challenged, aren't we? You know, and this world is getting to where it's getting tougher and tougher for us to live in this world. You know that? I mean, with all this sodomite, same-gender marriage mess and all that, I mean, things are set up for the law or the world to come after us. We just need to trust our Lord and hold forth what the Word of God says, not our opinion or what we think, but what God says, and stand in that. It's well set up that we could really be treated dirty about things that we hold to in the truth. You know what we're called to do? You know what we're called to do? We're called to forgive. Forgive. We're called to forgive one another, and we're called to forgive others. Well, Brother Jim, it says here, and it said in that other passage, my brother. Yeah, I know. You know, it's especially our brethren. It's especially our brethren, but it holds true for our neighbor too. And I think we see that here later in this book in Luke chapter 23, the example of forgiveness, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we find here in Luke chapter 23, here around verse 32, we'll pick it up. And there were also two other malefactors led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And remember, brothers and sisters, I believe it's very much so that our Lord Jesus Christ did not fight against them. From the human standpoint, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would go as far as to ask, which one's my cross? And whether he spoke or not, I don't know. But when they pointed out the one that he would be crucified to, the tree that he would be nailed to, he willingly submitted. I wouldn't put it past the Lord to just lay down there and willingly submit to it. He didn't fight. He didn't open up his mouth in opposition to it. And they crucified him, the very one that should not have been crucified. We all should have been crucified, but not our Lord. And of all things, they crucified him with two malefactors, two men that indeed were guilty. They represent you and me. We're the guilty ones. We're the ones that have offended. We're the ones that have offended God in the greatest way. They crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is there any qualifier in that? Had they asked for forgiveness? No. They thought they were doing their job. They thought that they were just and meeting out the governor's directive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, as children of God, it is so, especially when someone would strike out against us, not knowing or because of what we would believe or what we hold forth, the Lord's word and that. If somebody would strike out at us, you know, that's really the case. People that are ignorant and haven't been blessed to understand what the Scriptures is talking about and what the Scriptures mean and the great doctrine that our Lord has given us, His truth, His teaching, they strike out at that or they strike out at us because of that. It's really the case. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They're ignorant. They just don't know. And may we be of a mind to forgive. To forgive as our Heavenly Father has forgiven us in Christ. To forgive as the Lord Jesus Christ forgives. When Peter was crucified, and historically we're told that Peter requested to be crucified upside down, that he not be crucified like the Lord. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a historical point that's told. Wonder how Peter was when they crucified him. Reckon he was forgiving? Imagine he was. I don't know for sure. But by what we read in his epistles, he understands the calling of the Lord upon him, and he understands where he's going. And he understands what the Lord has done. May our Lord help us. And thankful to this witness in the Scripture.